How are you guys doing? Are we excited to be together as a church? Happy New Year. I know I'm a week late. Happy New Year. I wasn't here last Sunday. I was part of the Facebook crew. I loved it. I loved being on there. Me and my family took the time away, and we appreciate that. And I will tell you, I was truly impressed. I thought you guys as a church worshiped awesome. And seeing my man up there, Harrison Ford, preaching, you don't get to say that much at other churches, right? We had Harrison Ford. Next time, you really got to use that, I feel like. We have Harrison Ford speaking this night at our church, this day. Anyway, he did an excellent job, am I right? And he pretty much, he knew where we're going in this series, and as we start the new year and start this new series, I really don't know how long God has for this series, because I feel like this could go 10 weeks, maybe 9 weeks, and you might just be bored to death by the end of this, but I really feel like God is going to use this series, because the reality is this: God's word changes our life, right? If we allow it. We have to allow it. That's the key. If we're waiting here this morning for me to say something big and spontaneous and something that's going to change your life forever, keep waiting. But the moment we involve God's word in it and we understand that it has power and we understand that it can move us and change us, this morning might change us for the rest of this year. It might change us for the rest of our life, because his word has power. You believe that? All right. Well, Our series this year, our series right now is called Words to Live By. And we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and what it means, what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? And how it changes this, that as we live this life, what are we producing, right? We produce things, whether it's nothing, you can produce a bunch of nothing, right? You can. You can also produce a lot of frustration for other people, right? Just talk to my wife, right? It can happen. Or you can produce what God has desired us to produce, and we're going to talk about that in this series. And I'm going to start with something out of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That alone, I could just do the entire sermon right here. Are you ready to lean on God's understanding and not your own understanding? Right? That's so impactful. A lot of us are built in ways like, I view this world in one way, and that's how I'm always going to view this world. And God comes in, guess what he does? He wrecks that. And he challenges you to live a way that you will never truly understand. He will tell you to love people. You're like, no, I don't want to love them. I don't want to show them grace. I don't want to be there for them. And he tells you to love your enemy. Does that make sense? No. But that's what he tells you. Right? Lean unto him right now. In all your ways, submit to him. You know what, as I've done counseling for those who are getting married, this is one of the hardest things for us to understand, is this, the idea to love the other person more than anything else. To look at them and say, their needs come first. And if you can do that without any getting it back in return. It's not this exchange of love. It's this, I give you my love. Love doesn't come with conditions. It comes freely when God's in the center of it. And when it comes to relationships, that's huge. It's hard to understand, because what do I have to submit to? I submit to the other person. And the reality, too, when we come together, you start to understand we are a union in this. And so when I submit together. You get that? Now, imagine having this with God. Submitting your life to God What does that look like to you today? What areas in your life do you need to submit to? What do you need to lay down and go, God, this is yours. I've been holding on to this. I don't want to give this up. I can have a plethora of lists of things that we are not ready to give up. I love to gossip. Okay, I'm not saying me personally. All right? Sometimes. But God has to, he sits there and goes, no, don't be a part of that. I love to hold on to grudges. But God comes in and says, no, that's mine. Let me free you. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. What do you need to submit to God this morning? Right? And he will make your path straight. This was highlighted to me this morning as I was driving to church. The plows didn't quite get all the roads by the time I came to church this morning. And you ever drive on a freshly snowed road and there's been a couple of cars that have gone through it? What's the tendency to do? Follow that path, right? Because you're like, okay, it's good. Unless you see that path that veers off the road and just goes straight into the field 100 yards. You know, oops, something went wrong there, right? Which I've noticed in Illinois that we have a tendency to do that. We love to drive that way. I don't know. But it doesn't, like, what I've noticed is the people, when it's freshly snowed and you're the first ones driving, that path is like straight in the middle of the road. They've decided, okay, the safest spot is the furthest away from all the edges. Until that other car comes, you're like, oh no, right? I look at our faith walk with this. God has set a path for you. And this world is treacherous. And the reason that he has set a path for you is because he knows this world is treacherous. And the moment we step away from the path that he has set for you, we live in a world that is able to just slide right off and be in chaos. And there has been people in our lives, there has been people that I have seen that they had, just like the Illinois drivers, they have said, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And just go straight into the world and just get stuck. They just live that way. But God has set a path for you because he loves you and wants you to be safe. What's the biggest thing? I know for me growing up and seeing my kids drive, I want to know they made it to their destination safe. You feel the same way? Guess what? You know where that's from? That originates with God. He wants to know you are safe. He wants you to know that I have got a path for you, and in that path, it's different from what this world thinks is safe, too. God is going to put you through things, but with him, it is the safest way to go through because you don't lose hope with him. You understand that? All right. In Luke, this solidifies what the word means to us. For no word of God will ever fail. Though no word of God will never fail. Do you believe that this morning? It's a rhetorical question. And you can yell yes, I would love to hear that, but what I really want you to understand, do I believe this today? Do I believe that his word doesn't fail? And if I do believe that, then what do I need to change in my life to show that I believe that? Right? Galatians is where we're going to focus on most of this series. This is where Paul talks to this church and he's telling them how they live matters. How they live matters. Not for my own good, not for your good. How you live matters to God. I will tell you, growing up as a teenager, the one that I represented the most was not God at growing up as a teenager. It was my mom. And if I did something and I knew my mom found out that I did something, I knew I let her down, that destroyed me. Right? She could punish me. But the more that the punishments didn't really have much of effect, but if I knew I disappointed her, if I knew I let her down, if I knew that I did not live up to the expectations that she had for me, man, it crushed me. Anybody else like that? Like if I went to her and I was like, yeah, I did this. I got detention. I got suspended. And she didn't yell at me. She just looked at me and just, that hurts. Why did you do that? I'm just really disappointed. And walked away. That lives with me. That lives with me. It matters how we live for God, right? It matters. We don't want to disappoint God because we know how much God loves us, all right? In Galatians, it says, be fruitful of the Spirit is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I like that last statement. Because it just seems so out of place, right? Of course, these things have no law against it. But during this time in this culture, there was laws for everything of how it is to be a follower of God, right? Whether you took how many steps in a day determined whether or not you were holy, right? What I love about this, there's no law that tells you how much you need to be full of love and joy and peace. There's no law about it. What he was telling them, listen, this is free for us. We don't have any gauges for this, but we understand the value of it, right? And he's telling the church this is what it means. And I decided to look up what the fruit is, right? It just seems weird, that fruit of the Spirit, right? And this is what, it's karpos is the Greek word, right? And what it really means is what you produce. What you produce at this time. And what I wanted to focus on is this. Within the idea of what we produce shows what's in the heart of us. And I think there's two avenues in which we can produce. One that is God-led, God-filled, and one without. That's it. Those are our two choices. And we look at our life and we can easily look back. Like if I said, hey, let's take a look, a recap of 2022, of your life, just 2022, just the year, and ask you, what did you produce this year? Is it God-filled? Are you producing this? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Are you self-controlled? Is this what you're producing? As I was working through this sermon, it feels like I'm really hammering you. My thought process is this. I would love for us, I don't want to even say resolutions, because resolutions has lost all its meat. I have resolutions. I want to get to the gym. I want to lose some weight. I want to be better at reading. I want to be more diligent as a father and a husband. I want those things. I do. I've been to the gym once. I will get there more, I promise. But resolutions have lost me. What I love for this is this new year to signify a new opportunity to how to live for God. And to wake up every day and ask, how can I live for you, God? What can I produce? And at the end of the day, go and reevaluate, what did I produce for God? And it's not one of these things where I have to do this to earn this. It's one of these things within this relationship, I want to do this because of what he done for me and what he's doing for me. He loves you so much, right where you stand, no matter what you've done, wherever you are in life, he loves you. And if he had to, he would send his son again for you to do the same exact thing, to die on a cross for your sins. In fact, he did send his son for your sins personally, to die on a cross for you so you don't have to be held accountable for those sins anymore, long as you ask for forgiveness, long as you live and believe in Jesus Christ. Tim said it this morning in John 3:16, we sang about it. For God so loved us, he sent his son to die for us. that whoever believes, I love that this is it, whoever believes shall what? Have eternal life with their Savior. Right? Believe. And I want to tell you what belief looks like. Belief is not something that I go, yes, I have this label that I put down on a Scantron and I'm either Christian or non-Christian or I'm whatever I am. That's not belief. Belief is God has done something for me. And in that, my life mirrors that commitment. I want to be the same that God was for me. So I live this way, and I want to produce joy in this world that seems so lack of joy. I want to produce peace in a world that we are ready to fight and be angry and have Twitter wars and Facebook wars, and we want to just get our voice heard. And we come in with peace and love. We come with kindness. You know the commodity of kindness is so low today that people, our reaction, we don't have self-control, so we just say whatever comes out in that moment. A knee-jerk. We are called to be kind and good. Right? Let me tell you what it looks like when we live on the other side that Galatians talks about. This is what's at war with us on a daily basis. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. This is us. This is us living without God. This is what we deal with on every day, every moment. The things that I'm thinking right now, I don't like this. The frustrations, the anger, the temptations that I have, that's my flesh. This is my life without the Spirit of God within me. They're at contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Hear that real quick. You are not to do whatever you want. If we go back to the very Proverbs, this is what it means to submit. This is what it means to live for God. This is what it means to have a desire that is beyond my own desires, but to have God's desire live within me. So it watches what I say, it watches what I do, it watches what I partake in. We just did a baby dedication, and we want this baby, this Hunter, this little boy, to grow up in a world that is loving and kind, and we don't want him to fall in temptations. We understand what the flesh will do, and we understand Hunter might make miscues. He might step in the wrong way. He might not do what he knows is right. And guess what? As a church, we don't pick up the stones to throw at Hunter or his parents, but we encourage and we pray and we move forward and let him know what he's doing is drawing him from the path that is safe and healthy. We are the guidepost of God's love. That's what we do. And that's why we help each other. And that just signifies us as a church, not just with Hunter, that we are called to be committed to too. So when we see somebody step away from the faith, when we see somebody doing something that we know is not what God has intended, we don't sit there and judge them for it, but we love them through it. Right? Is that our commitment? Is that our commitment? See, the world is looking for authentic believers. The world is looking for those not... You don't have to know every word in the scripture. That's not what they're most interested in. They're not looking for the fights necessarily. What they're wanting to know is that these words have really made an impact on your life, and it shows through what you produce. Right? So the question that I would like for you to either write down, screenshot, take a picture of this, that I would love for you to ask on a constant basis during this series is this. Do you feel the war between your flesh and your spirit? In what areas of your life do you feel it the most? And what I would love for you to do as your pastor, as somebody that is shepherding, somebody that wants to lead you, is that you pray about this, that you think about this, that you put this down as real, as something that you go, okay, this is the areas that I know God wants me to work on. Maybe you spend the rest of this day in prayer figuring this out. Maybe you're perfect and you're good. I want to hang out with you. I want that rubbed off. But this, again, we are not called to do this alone. Do you believe that? But why do we do it alone? When's the last time you shared what you struggle with another person that you trust, that you know they'll pray for you, that you know that they're there for you? And I'm not just saying the little needs, like, you know, I need to make this payment. I don't know if I have enough. You know, those things are important. I agree. But what I really want to deal with is spiritual warfare in your life, where flesh is taken over and you're dealing with serious things that you know that you've gone off the path of safety that God has set straight for you. In church, we are not here to judge, but we are here to love through that. We're here to lift each other up. We're here to go, okay, if you want me to hold you accountable, I'll hold you accountable. If you want me to be the one that is the shoulder to lean on, if you want me to be the one that just approaches God in prayer for the needs that you have, I will be that person. And I implore you, church, if anybody from in here that goes, you know, I wrote that down, I see where I'm struggling, I see what I'm doing, that you take that news that they gave you of what they're struggling with serious. That you don't mock them. That it stays between you and that other person. That you love them and follow up with them. That it's not just a one-time commitment. We are here as a family to grow together. And this next year, I want you to know, I woke up this last week, and I missed last Sunday. I did. I was online with you. I celebrated with you, but it wasn't the same. And I will, being here, I was anticipating being this Sunday, being excited to be in your presence, knowing that God is going to move. And I'm excited for 2023, but what God has for Springfield First. I truly believe that a revival is going to happen. I truly believe it's not about the numbers that sits in the seats, but I'm going to see you re-engage lives spiritually walking towards God and excited to come to be here, excited to worship Him, excited to be in the story that God has created for you personally. Excited for that. Excited for the stories to hear that how God is working in your life and how you see it and you want to be a part of it and you can't wait to share it. I'm excited that 2023, we're going to have more people up on the stage saying, this is my testimony and this is how God's moving in my life. And I'm filled with joy that I've never had before. I'm filled with peace that I never had before. I've loved people that I've said I would never love. The more that we fill ourselves up with God, the more that we're willing to be changed and moved and put out in areas that we feel like, from the world's standpoint, is so unsafe, and He's set us a path that is straight. There are things that sit in the way of this. And doubt comes in, God can't use me because of this issue. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I want to tell you as a friend, I want to tell you as a person that believes in God, that God can use you despite you. Trust me on that. At the same time, He can use you so much better if you're willing to submit to Him. Being a willing servant for God will take you places that you never thought you would go. You'll encounter people that need to know His grace, His mercy, His understanding. They need to know the hope that is just busting out of you. They will need to see the living scripture that is bound within you, that's living out of you, and they say, oh, wow, man, that person, what's going on with them? They look at the world in a different way. They see this world in a way that God sees this world, and they had just gotten encountered with God because God is just beaming through them. And they're not allowing the things in which the flesh to hold them back. My hope is this year that we don't allow the flesh to hold us back, that we submit to the Spirit, and it comes in and examines our heart and examines our motives and examines our minds and goes, okay, this area, are you ready to give it up? Are you ready to submit? I want you to think about that this week. And I want you to pray about that. And I want you, if you're bold enough, to share it with somebody that you trust. Not to be judged, but to be loved, to carry each other's burdens, to be accountable to. We are the church that God is at the center of, moving, changing us, inspiring us. We are not lumps on the log. We should be the loudest voices in people's lives, not to be like, you turn or burn! That's not what I'm saying. Waking people up. What I'm saying, we should be the loudest voice in love. We should be the loudest voice in joy. We should be the loudest voice that brings goodness. We should be the loudest voice that is kind. We should not be the loudest voice that brings gossip. We should not be the loudest voice of hatred. We should not be the loudest voice of hurt and anger. We are called to live as if this is in our lives, to live as if Jesus dying on the cross really meant something to us. So this is my question, to be honest about it, to pray about it this week, to ask yourself, in what areas of my life do I feel the most that there's a war between my flesh and spirit? And am I willing to submit? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for this service. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. I thank you for what it means to be in a relationship with you, dear Lord. Lord, may it be real in our life. May we understand that you come in to bring us hope, to bring us understanding of how to live, to bring us new life. Lord, may we allow you to examine our life, our heart, our spirit, and may it be in line with yours. Help us submit to your love. Help us submit to your way of life. Help us submit to a life that is full of joy, peace, love, kindness, goodness. May those things be real. May that be how we react. May we love the way you've called us to love. Lord, I pray that you put people in our lives to help us be accountable, that you put people in our lives to love us through it. If we doubt you this morning, help us with our doubt. We give you all the praise today. Lord, may this be a new start of way of thanking, a new way of how we have a relationship with you. Help us produce the love that you've put in our lives. Help us produce the way you've called us to live. We give you all the praise. Amen. You're dismissed.